What's 50 years old is right here in northwestern Ontario. Received a birthday card from Canada's award-winning author, Margaret Atwood, and continues every day in every way to learn the science behind environmental change. Well, we could spend a lot of time guessing, but today we're lucky enough to have the executive director of IISD Area Project on the phone, who can solve these riddles and answer other questions as well. Hello and welcome to Matthew McCamless.
Hello, Wayne. Thank you very much.
Obviously, you're sort of neighbors from us, even though you might be, 170 clicks or so away from our Thunder Bay office. Can you tell us a little bit about the ELA project?
Well, the ELA originally started in the 1960s, 1968, and it was a project that began in order to better understand what was happening with water around the world. It was in the 1960s that the Great Lakes, particularly Lake Erie, were facing major ecological challenges with algae. And there was all sorts of pollution getting into the lake from industry and from agriculture. And I think many people know about the story of the fires in the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland around that time. And it was all connected. It was becoming quite a problem, and nobody really knew what to do about it. But they did understand that fixing the Great Lakes was going to be very expensive, and it needed to be done right the first time. So in order to get that done right, they had to figure out how to do the science. And the way that was done was to find some small lakes that don't have any human influence and try and replicate what was happening in Lake Erie in order to test some solutions. And eventually the scientists involved came across the experimental lakes area lakes and began some tests by fertilizing a few lakes with phosphorus. And ultimately, it was realized that it was phosphorus causing the problems in Lake Erie. And as a result, we had legislation in the U.S. and Canada that eventually cleaned up Lake Erie. So the water quality in Lake Erie got much, much better between the 1960s and the 1990s. And that's how the ELA started.
Well, now you have a 50th candle on your birthday cake, don't you?
We do now. And while harmful algae was the reason why the ELA was opened in the first place, it's still a big part of what we do, but now we do so much more, and there have been so many more projects over the 50 years since.
Well, we understand that there was once a creature called a mysis that lived in fresh water. Perhaps you can update us on exactly what that is and what the status of the mysis is now.
Well, back in the 1970s, acid rain was a big problem, and it was basically it was chemicals coming from smokestacks, much of this coming from coal-burning power plants in the eastern United States and Canada. And these substances would travel in the atmosphere, and eventually they would settle out in rain, in acid rain, rain with lower pH. And that rain was causing serious problems for lakes. It was causing problems all the way up the food chain, and one of those little creatures that was most affected was mysis. It's basically a small freshwater shrimp that lives in most lakes around North America, and it's a major food source for small fish. So little fish that have just hatched, eat a lot of mysis before they sort of get bigger and start eating other things. So it's a very important part of the food chain in lakes in northwestern Ontario. And acid rain was causing problems with mysis. In fact, it was even wiping them out from some lakes. So we've been studying this quite a bit, because although we have the Clean Air Act in the United States and we've had legislation in Canada, acid rain was effectively reversed. But some of the lakes haven't recovered from this damage. We're doing an experiment right now to reintroduce mysis to a lake at the Experimental Lakes area, and we're going to see what happens, how they survive, whether or not the lake trout that live in that lake start to grow faster like they did before. And it's really a study that's going to help us better understand food chains in lakes like we have in northwestern Ontario.
Now, obviously, your work comes down to actually having an impact on many of our guests at Wilderness North who come primarily from the U.S. and primarily north in order to be in the freshwater boreal and do some sport fishing. So we sort of consider you a partner. What advice would you give us on how we can help you keep freshwater fresh?
Well, I'd say some of the best advice is to keep it clean. The cleaner the water, the less chemicals and substances, the less diversion we do to that water, the better. And that will really help. One other thing that we have to watch is how the climate is changing in northwestern Ontario. Over the 50 years that we've been doing studies at the experimental lakes here, we've noticed that lakes are getting warmer, lakes are getting darker, and also lakes are seeing less ice cover. On average, a lake in northwestern Ontario, the lakes where we work, see about 20 days less ice cover today on average than they did in the 1960s. And this is going to have effects on what live in the lake, because ice is a very important part of the ecological cycling of these lakes. One of the things that we're seeing is that lake trout are getting smaller, and as lakes get warmer, it's possible that they will get too warm for lake trout. So the big lake trout might be found even further north than they are now. And this stress on lake trout potentially creates suitable habitat for other species that aren't in some of these lakes, like smallmouth bass, which are moving north. So I think we always sort of have to, when we're working and recreating and fishing around these lakes, we always have to make sure that we're keeping things out, and that includes invasive species. So it's very important to manage bait, to keep bait where it's used, and to make sure that boats are clean before they go into new lakes, because that's really how invasive species get around.
Well, that's good advice. And
you're welcome.
I have yet another question for you. How did you catch the eye of Margaret Atwood?
Well, that's a good question. We'd love to know. She's been actually a very vocal supporter of ours on Twitter for a number of years. She's even sponsored us, and she's bought some of our T-shirts. So it's great that that we have her attention, and especially great now that her works are really catching world attention now that The Handmaid's Tale's on TV and such. But she's always had an interest in science. I believe her father was a scientist and did a lot of field work, and this might be something that's close to what she does. And of course, some science has it's a theme that you see quite a bit, quite often in some of her books. So we're really thrilled, and we hope that she comes out for a visit sometime.
Now it's winter, and yet there's still things going on up in your experimental area. And I understand by your latest newsletter that there's some research that has a lot to do with the mud of these lakes. Can you fill us in on that?
That's right. I'll first say that really our busy time is in the summer. Our facility can house up to 60 researchers. And this past year we were pretty full for most of the open water season. We didn't really have any extra space for anyone else who wanted to come and do research. Things get a little quieter in the winter. Most of the researchers go back to wherever they were, to their universities and process data. But we continue some of our work. We continue long-term monitoring. And a lot of this happens under ice. So starting in January, our crews of about 10 people will go out for about 10 days each time, about 10 days per month, and drill holes in the ice in the lakes and take water samples, analyze them in the lab, just to understand what life is like in these lakes under the ice. But under the ice and under the water is, of course, the sediments. And winter is a great time to be taking sediment samples, because the lakes are very still. Things settle very well. And what we do in the winter is we take samples of sediments and then we take them back to the lab. And these are basically like records of history. They tell us exactly what happened in the lakes and what has been happening for hundreds and thousands of years. Whatever happened in those lakes, be it a forest fire, be it a pollution event, there will be traces in the sediment record. So that's what we're doing a lot of in the winter, is going through the mud of these lakes to figure out, to get a better sense of what's going on, what lived there, and and how they're doing.
So you're traveling on snowmobiles instead of boats, and you certainly aren't wearing very many layers of mosquito protection, are you?
No, we trade the bug nets for floater suits.
Do you welcome visitors to your facilities when they're in the area?
We do. It is possible to arrange tours for groups through by contacting us. We regularly receive visitors throughout the open water season, and we're very happy to show people the work that we do.
Well, thanks again. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you, your family, and your associates there. And we very much appreciate you carving out some time for us to tell us a bit more about our hardworking scientific neighbor there at the ELA project.
Thank you very much, Wayne, and all the best to you and your listeners.